So this is the second part of a two-part interview with AJ Johnson. And on in this segment, we talk about his hockey adventures. He is indeed a prodigy. If you are a hockey fan, this is the Everyday Hero episode for you. Welcome back. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Swartik Mayanja, and this is the Mayanja Accredited News Network. We are on another episode of My Everyday Hero interview series, where I interview someone in your life or someone in my life that makes us smile but does not get the credit that they deserve. Today, I get to interview a leader, a hockey prodigy, and an old pal. Welcome to the show, AJ Johnson.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course.
There is no justice when so few have so much and so many have so little.
All right, so AJ, let's get down to business. Let's get down to business. I know AJ. When I say AJ, the first thing that comes to mind is hockey. I can't think of AJ without hockey. AJ, you're a hockey player.
Yes, I am.
How long, when did it start, and why do you love it so much?
So, I honestly couldn't tell you when I started. I just know that when I was growing up, I had a pretty decent sized yard. My father would always set up a little ice rink in the back in the winter, even when I was a toddler. So I've been skating forever.
Yeah.
My mother told me I could skate before I could walk.
That's amazing.
And so that's really where it started.
Yeah.
I grew up in a family that was very hockey oriented. My grandfather on my mother's side never played. He just loved the game. You know, he played street hockey with his buddies, pickup. My father is French Canadian from up in Nova Scotia.
Hey.
And
forget about it.
That's where the hockey comes
from.
You know, my father played high school hockey in Waltham at Waltham High. He was a part of the team with a man called Jeff Lazaro, who went on to play in the National Hockey League.
That's amazing.
Out of public high school hockey. Yep. So back in the day in the 70s and 80s and stuff, there was none of these, you know, post grad prep school years and all these club hockey teams and stuff. So if you're a hockey player, varsity hockey when you were in high school is the way to go. And you know,
if you were good enough,
you're going to play college hockey right out of high school. So I think that's where hockey stemmed from, obviously. And my parents did a very good job throughout my life, never putting me into programs or sports that, you know, they were interested in, I might not be interested in and stuff. They also, throughout my entire life, they've always told me that you do you. You know, if you want to do something and you're dead set on it, we're going to support you no matter what. I don't care if you want to be a ballerina.
Good for you.
You know? So,
exactly.
That definitely helped a lot throughout the years playing hockey, because there's a lot of sacrifices I've had to make socially, with school and stuff. You know, if I had a game on Saturday, my buddies are going out Friday night, you know, I had to stay in, I had a game the next day, you know what I mean? And my parents have, I'm an only child, so my parents are even more dead set on, you know, going all in with me.
Exactly.
So, throughout the years, they've spent,
I was just going to say, because you're right, hockey is one of those sports where you have to not just like be very dedicated to the sport. It takes a lot out of you, right? I know, first of all, the equipment is insanely expensive, right?
Yep.
To replace any of that stuff is just an arm and a leg. You guys had practices, forget about games, practices at 5 a.m. before school, after school, in the middle of the week, at like you guys had to do some crazy shit just to practice for these games. Explain to me how you dealt with all of that. Like, just sacrifice that you had to do.
Well, it was obviously a lot.
Yeah.
In high school, that's when it really started to become more structural. You know, I was lucky enough to have a very good support team through my parents and my, you know, academic advisors in high school and stuff. And I was one of those kids in high school where I wasn't necessarily uninterested in school. It was just that I, you know, it took a lot more for me to, you know, sit down, do the homework, study for a test, do a project, whatever. But I definitely had a lot of help there. And it's always been school first. I mean, I know it's a cliche and people say it. And, you know, in college you hear the term student athlete. There's a reason why student comes before the athlete. And it definitely, that's 100% true. But once you get that taken care of, you know, throughout the day, whether, you know, I was in support class, academic support in high school, so I had a good job of, you know, teachers helped me with getting my homework done or studying for tests and stuff. But, you know, those few hours after school, it's kind of time to cool the jets a little bit. You know, you got practice coming up and, you know, have dinner at home and then hit the rink for practice. And, you know, practices are, you know, just like in any sport. You played football and track in high school. Exactly. And you know that if you had a bad game, coach is going to make you pay for it. You know,
so forget about it.
There's always times where you not necessarily dread going to the rink or but to the gym, whatever, but you're a little worried about what you got coming to you. So
No, definitely. And I just like, I always just, you know, tip my hat off to not just hockey players, but any sport athlete that has to go, like, that the schedule has to get messed up just so they can fit in a practice. Mm-hmm. So I always just tip my hat off and I say respect to you. But all right, so let's start from the basics. What position do you play, right? And where has your hockey been from high school to now?
Okay, so I'm a forward. Mm-hmm. I'm a right shot. I primarily play center. Okay. I also play right wing. Yeah, I do a lot on the penalty kill.
Good for you.
Not so much the power play, but the penalty kill. You know, I'm not afraid to get in front of the rubber block and shots, throw my weight around. So that's, you know, my game is mostly hard-nosed hockey. Mm. You know, first to the puck in the corner, get physical, heavy shot, stuff like that.
So
in high school, I played for Newton North on the varsity from my freshman to my junior year.
Good for you. That's impressive.
After my junior year, I had the opportunity to start playing junior hockey with the Junior Bruins, who are out of Marlboro, Mass. So that was definitely a big jump from high school hockey. I mean, growing up, I've always played, you know, club teams and stuff, and I've met kids from all over New England, the country, and even, you know, Canada and some kids in Europe and stuff. So I knew a bunch of kids who were going to make the jump with me, and made me feel pretty comfortable. But the biggest thing, the biggest change was the practice schedule and game schedule.
Okay.
The main thing with junior hockey, especially in the U.S., is to try to get kids to go to college.
Exactly.
That's a good goal. Right.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
You know, if you're playing hockey at the high school level or, you know, junior hockey level, your goal is to play college hockey.
Exactly.
You know, that's why you've played your whole life and you sacrificed everything. But these showcases are really easy for college coaches to be all in the same place at the same time, do their recruiting.
Makes sense.
See some teams they wouldn't usually see, you know, if they're not close to wherever their school is. But the good thing about playing hockey in the Northeast especially is you have 30 Division I, Division III powerhouse college hockey teams in your backyard.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's Hockey East, you got BU, BC, Merrimack, Lowell, all those guys. And, you know, you got Division III, you got Babson, you got my school now is University of Southern Maine where I play. You know, it's just really, the Northeast does a very, very good job of promoting their kids to play college hockey. So back to... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so like back to that jump from junior year to senior year. First of all, you did say that you knew a lot of people outside from North that were going to make that jump with you. But it must have been tough. I mean, from freshman year to junior year, you hit Newton North, varsity hockey player. Did you have the choice of going to play junior hockey after senior year, or did you think it was best for you to do it your senior year?
I definitely had the choice to do it after my senior year. My coach at Newton North, Tom Ryan, he actually was a captain at Boston University.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. I had no idea.
Yeah, and he's a pretty good family friend of mine. And, you know, even not in high school, he's seen me play hockey growing up with his son. And he knew that there was something there, and I definitely had a chance to play college hockey. And he thought... It was in my best interest that, you know, he thought I was ready at that time.
That's so awesome.
He didn't want to hold me back from anything. You know what I mean?
To have a coach that you've had that is the actual coach of the Newton North team to say that and to, like, you know, push you towards that goal. I mean, that's kind of great.
Yeah.
That's kind of great.
No, it definitely meant a lot to me. And, you know, after talking to him a couple times, talking to the coach and the team that was recruiting me to play for them and talking to my parents and stuff, it all made sense. That's great.
So now let's talk from how long did you play junior hockey and how did you get to Southern Maine?
So I started playing juniors my senior year, like I said. Mm-hmm. The first 2 months playing juniors, I was in a hotel room more than my own bed at home.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, we were traveling every weekend a bunch of those showcases and stuff. And not even if it was a showcase, but you know, we got teams all over New England, New York, New Jersey. So we were definitely doing a lot of traveling at the beginning of the year. It was tough trying to find a good balance of being able to still get the schoolwork done while I'm doing all this traveling.
And
it was the first time I've been doing it on a consistent basis. Now, obviously, growing up playing club hockey, you go to tournaments away and, you know, you're away for a weekend once every 2 or 3 months. But this was on a, you know, consistent basis. You're taking 6-7 hour bus rides, middle of nowhere.
My goodness.
But it was definitely fun. You know, you got really close with your team.
Of course.
Made some good friends that I still have to this day from that first year of junior hockey. So I played with the Junior Bruins my senior year. I graduated high school in 2013. And then hockey's a unique sport because it's one of the only sports where there's a league, the Junior Hockey League.
Exactly.
And there's hundreds of them. It's one of the only sports where you don't necessarily have to go to college right away if you're going to play college hockey. You can take 2 or 3 years off of high school, which is, of school in general. That's exactly what I did.
Okay.
So my first year after I graduated, I went back with the Junior Bruins.
Yes.
Played there a full year. At the end of that season, I started to get a little interest from some junior teams up in Canada. And it was pretty cool because my family, you know, I got a bunch of family up in Canada.
Yeah.
Up in, you know, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. So there's a team called the Moncton Wildcats. The Moncton Wildcats.
Moncton Wildcats. Yep, right.
And they're out of Moncton, New Brunswick. Mm-hmm. It's about 8-9 hours from here, ride.
Okay.
I've done that drive many a time.
I don't doubt it.
I got family in that town. I got family in that city. So it was pretty cool to get not my hometown team, but you know, one of my family members' hometown team to, you know, go up and go to their training camp. So after my second year, I went up for training camp in August of 2014, and I was there for about a month. And then I left Moncton and went to Summerside, Prince Edward Island.
Where is that?
It is a little island just off of New Brunswick in Nova Scotia.
Oh, wow.
Now, one of the cool things about going to going to Prince Edward Island is there used to be a ferry, and that was the only way on or off the island.
Yeah.
They thought it was a good idea to build a bridge. Now, this bridge is 8 miles long. And I don't really like heights.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not a huge fan of bridges. So that first time going over the bridge, I wasn't the happiest of campers.
That's 8 miles is a long, long way.
Yep. And when you see, whether you're on New Brunswick side of the bridge or the island side of the bridge, it's just big. It looks like a roller coaster.
My God.
But I guess it's so long and the incline is just so little.
Okay.
It feels like you're driving straight the whole time.
But it is an incline.
Oh, it's a huge incline.
Jesus.
From afar. So I stayed there from September. I stayed there for about 2 months. That was pretty cool because you know, being up in Canada, hockey's life up there, you know what I mean? So we were the only show in town, and, you know, we had a nice big arena.
That's awesome.
And there was a pool in there. There was a bowling alley, movie theater, restaurant.
Are you everything serious? In there.
Yeah. So, you know, we spent our day at the rink, whether it be, you know, training in the gym before practice, get on the ice for a little while, and then the boys would hop in the hot tub and,
my goodness,
you know, maybe go upstairs, play a little squash, whatever. And I'll never forget playing there because that was the biggest crowd I've played in front of. There was a couple thousand people there and, the whole city, the whole town shows up in the surrounding towns. And, you know, it's like you're a little celebrity because it's the only show in town.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to Tim Hortons. For those of you who know what Tim Hortons is, it's pretty much Canada's version of Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, okay.
Their coffee's way better. I got K-Cups at my house if you want some.
I'm in there.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, you're going to Tim Hortons and, you know, one of the locals buys you a cup of coffee or, you know, you're leaving the rinks. These little kids are asking for autographs and stuff.
That's amazing.
And you're only 18, 19 years old and you feel like a celebrity for a little bit. So that was pretty cool.
That is legit.
And then, so when I left there, I came back to Boston. I ended up joining up with a team out of Foxborough, Mass, South Shore Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I finished my season there. And then this past year, last year, it was my final season of eligibility for juniors.
Okay.
And the team elected me to be their captain.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that was definitely, you know, probably the most honorable thing that could have happened to me. The coaches don't really pick the captains. They let the team pick.
Yeah.
And, you know, for being... I wasn't really close with anyone on the team when I first got there,
yeah,
halfway through the year.
Mm.
And those guys have been together for a while. So the fact that, you know, your teammates and your peers elect you to lead them, that was definitely very, very touching. And, you know, it meant a lot to me. And I didn't take it for granted.
That's real. I mean, that's real. Especially because you said that they knew each other and you were fairly new,
yep,
to the crew. That's legit. So, I don't want to get on a down, you know, topic, but you did get a little bit of an injury.
Yeah.
Yes. But before you got into that injury, you did the switch to Southern Maine, yeah, right? So,
yep,
you moved over to Southern Maine. Tell me a little bit about that, and then let me know how that injury came about.
Okay, so, you know, last year, my final season of juniors with the Kings,
yeah,
I got injured about halfway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little groin tear and a sports hernia.
I'm sorry.
I was out for a bit, but I was seeing, you know, a really good doctor out in Worcester. He said, listen, if you want to do surgery now, you can. But, you know, we could also... You know, you'd be out for the year, and exactly, I know that you're trying to, you know, make a college commitment, and you know, you want to play the rest of the year and stuff. So, if you want, we can just, you know, do some cortisone shots and kind of band-aid it through the rest of the year and,
yeah,
see if that works. So I did that, finished the season, and last November, I committed to the University of Southern Maine, where I attend now, to play hockey there, and that was great. And, you know, the cortisone shot seemed to work for a little bit.
Yes.
I finished the season, had my summer training like I always normally do, out of EPS in Foxborough with Brian McDonough and his training staff, which are the best in the Northeast. He trains over 20 NHLers and, you know, a couple NFL guys, Gronkowski's in
there.
There you go. Ninkovich is in there.
There
you go. It's pretty cool being...
It's the real deal.
Yeah, and he was my assistant coach for the Kings. He owns the gym.
My God.
So he takes care of his guys, and he's definitely one of the best around.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm going to say he is the best around, and I know I'm a little biased, but...
No, you're not. If Gronk's there, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to a couple different training facilities, and this is top-notch, and
yeah,
he always puts his guys first and takes care of his guys. So, mm. So yeah, so... Trained over the summer, you know, this fall, went up to school. Season started in mid to late October, but we had captain's practices and team workouts the day that we got there.
Yes.
So that started up. I was still feeling good. You know, my injury wasn't really bothering me. We had a weekend where we were coming down to play at Babson Friday night and then at UMass Boston Saturday afternoon. Got through the Babson game, played UMass Boston, at UMass Boston, scored my first college goal at UMass Boston. They were the number four team in the country.
That's impressive.
Got lucky in the next period, kind of shut my eyes, put my stick out, got another one in the second period.
Shut up.
Yeah, and then we ended up beating the number four team in the country.
That's insane.
In the third period, I went to take a face-off. And I'm going to use the term toe pick. And basically, that is when my skate kind of got stuck in the ice.
Yeah.
And as I was rotating, the rest of my body kept moving the other way.
Fuck.
And I felt everything come out of my groin again. And it was different than the last time because I've never felt so much pain. I've never broken a bone, knock on wood.
Yeah.
I mean, other than my pinky, about seven times. but other than that, I've had no... You know, major hockey injuries, concussions, anything. I knew something was definitely wrong.
Damn.
So they dragged me off the ice. I couldn't skate. They literally dragged me off the ice.
That's insane.
And went back on the bus, back up to school, went to the doctor within the next couple of days, got some more imaging, MRIs and stuff, and they said that one of my adductor tendons tore completely off the bone, and I made my sports hernia a little worse. So, you know, at that time I knew I was out for the season, and surgery was the only...
How long in the season was it?
This was about 5 to 6 weeks into the season.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So I only got about six, 7.
And it was just when you were getting hot.
Yeah. It was just when I was getting hot. So that was a little extra salt in the wound there.
Sorry.
But, you know, I loved every second of it.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, the jump from junior hockey to college hockey is such a big jump.
Mm.
You know, people don't really think about it, but just the way that even practices are, everything's, you know, high intensity. Everything's, you know, a lot smoother than it would be in junior and high school hockey and stuff, because, you know, everyone has the same goal. When you're playing college hockey, everyone wants to be the best team in the country. You know, so that was definitely an experience and something that I tried to prepare myself the best I could over the summer, you know, in the gym.
Yes.
All the extra skating and stuff like that I've done. So
big question, what's the prognosis? Did they tell you? Are you still waiting? What's the situation?
The prognosis is that you know, I went under the knife and they put everything back together. So I'm still in my recovery time right now. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Exactly.
Starting physical therapy this week, actually.
Congrats.
So I'm gonna get that going, you know, 2-3 days a week for a couple months, and hopefully come summer I'll be you know, 90 to 100%, and then I go into my normal summer training and be ready for next fall.
So if all goes well, this summer, we're back on the ice.
Back on the ice next fall.
That's just amazing to hear.
Yep.
So with that good news, I always have to know.
Yeah.
Hockey, I was never a big fan of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite team? Who's your favorite player?
All right, so my favorite team is the Edmonton Oilers. And
Jesus,
I couldn't tell
you
why.
In Boston.
I know. I don't not like the Bruins.
But your favorite?
I like the Bruins.
Okay.
Just I've always
loved
the Oilers.
Just making sure for the people.
And I'd say a lot of it has to do with Wayne Gretzky being on that team.
That's very fair.
Obviously.
That is
so,
very fair.
My favorite player. Right now, I think I've had a lot of different favorite players over the years. One of my favorite players... who didn't necessarily have a long NHL career. He goes by the name of Jack O'Callaghan.
Jack O'Callaghan.
Jack O'Callaghan.
I haven't heard of him.
He's a local boy. He's Charlestown born and bred. He attended Boston University with one of my best friend's fathers, Trevor Fiddler's father. It goes by the name of Mark Fiddler.
Mm.
He's a Charlestown boy as well.
Mm.
Mark Fiddler attended Mattinaw. Broke all the scoring records there. As a freshman at Boston University, he was the leading scorer in the country.
That's amazing.
They were teammates, and now people might know, if there's any hockey fans out there listening, people might know Jack O'Callaghan from the movie Miracle on Ice. He was a part of that 1980 U.S. Olympic team.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Okay.
And I've been number 17 my whole life because of him. That was his number.
Good for you.
So I'd say that Jack O'Callaghan's probably my favorite player. But right now in the NHL...
He was part of the Miracle team from Charlestown?
Yeah.
Oh, good for us.
Yep.
Massachusetts.
There was a lot of Boston boys on that team. The ongoing joke in that movie is Boston versus Minnesota. You know, you take a... And those are the two biggest rivals at that time. They were always butting heads in the national championship. You try to take a bunch of guys from, you know, blue-collar Boston that go to Boston University against these players in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, the chemistry might not be there,
but they did some amazing things.
Yep.
But it's a miracle, right?
So.
Wonderful. Okay, so I also wanted to know, fights. How many fights have you ever been in on the hockey rink? Because it's the craziest, most fun thing in hockey. Do you fight like on the ice? Do they let that happen in junior hockey?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. One of the best fights I've ever been in was during a summer tournament.
Uh-oh, here we go.
And
it's nice out.
There's a really good story, and I'm not going to throw... Well, I might throw some names on the bus, but I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble here.
Of course.
We were a group of high schoolers.
Yeah.
predominantly Mass and Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So was this junior hockey? Was this summer league?
This was just a summer tournament. Okay. When we were all still in high school.
Okay.
All
right.
We were probably 16, 17 years old.
Okay.
So we were playing in a tournament up in Marlboro,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have a lot of guys on the team. Bunch of guys backed out last second. It was a really good tournament, though. There was a lot of good teams from Canada there.
Yeah.
And the thing with that is teams from Canada that come down play here, it's teams that play together all year.
So their chemistry is on
point. Yeah. And we're just, you know, a bunch of guys go to different high schools, different prep schools, play on different, you know, fall club teams, whatever. But whoever you can get, you can get.
Exactly.
And we actually had a really, really good team that year. We had Trevor Fiddler, who goes to West Point.
Mm.
We had Adam Gilmore, who went to Boston College, now plays for the Iowa Wild in the NHL. I mean, the AHL.
Holy shit.
We had Nick Roberto, who goes to Boston University. We had...
These are some real players.
Yeah, we had a good team. And we were playing this team from Canada.
Yeah.
And they were the top prep school team in Canada that decided to have a summer team that was the same exact roster as their high school team, which, you know, it wasn't against the rules. So we were down playing in Marlboro. We were low on bodies. And I don't want to say I started this fight.
He started the fight.
But I might have started the fight. Now... Mark Fiddler was the coach of this team.
Okay.
And he's a real, real Boston, Charlestown guy.
Of course.
You know, he's high energy,
mm-hmm.
You know, loves to win, just like everyone else. So yes. There was a shift where I was on the ice, and the puck went down into the corner, and I was chasing the guy down, and I hit him pretty hard to the boards.
Good for you.
It was a clean hit.
Good for
to
you.
To this day, I know for sure it was a clean hit.
Yeah.
The Canadians didn't really like it that much.
I wouldn't either.
We were lining up for the faceoff after that hit, and the coach calls the Canadian players off the ice. They called that line off the ice, and there was five new guys who came out who hadn't played a shift all game. Now, these guys were bigger. They were stronger.
They were fresher.
They were the fighting line. This was their fourth line, mucking it up line.
Uh-oh.
And I hear Mr. Fiddler yelling, "They're coming after you. Get ready to fight. Get ready to fight." So I'm like, "Oh, Jesus. All right, here we go." So I luckily had two pretty big defensemen on the ice with me.
Yeah.
And I knew it was coming right off the draw. So face-off happened. Ref dropped the puck. Puck went back into the corner. And we all kind
of... The ref went back in the corner?
No. The puck went into the corner.
Okay.
And pretty much all 10 guys on the ice went down to the corner. Started scrumming it up. And...
That sounds
couple guys hopped off the bench, and we were actually right in front of their bench.
Yeah.
So.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
So everyone's helmet came off, and everyone was throwing haymakers, and kids were leaning into that bench.
Oh,
their bench was trying to fight our guys, and we were in there just grabbing whoever we could.
Oh, jeez.
You know, AJ, blood everywhere.
You're too pretty. You can't do hockey. You can't do it.
This is the best part of the fight. So this is in the second period, towards the end of the second period, and we're already low on guys.
Okay.
So the ref kicks all of us off the ice.
Okay.
So we probably have five guys and one extra now for the rest of the game.
Shit.
And we're playing one of the best teams in Canada.
Shit.
We're tied with them nothing. And
Too much about hockey, but I know that the switches happen constantly.
Usually every 40 seconds.
Yep. And you guys had five and one extra?
We had one extra. So we all get off the ice. We all go in the locker room. We all shower up. And our coach comes in the locker room and goes, "All right, everyone put your shit back on." I go, "What are you talking about? We just got kicked out. Everyone, you can't go back out there." He goes, "No, everyone put your shit back on. We're all going to switch jerseys and go back out there." And everyone's looking around like, there's no way we're going to get away with this. There's absolutely no way we're going to get away with this. So we go back on the ice. I got banged up pretty good. I was still bleeding out of my nose.
Jeez.
So our whole team goes back on the ice. We're skating around, you know, before the period, and the coach on the other team's going, "What the hell is going on? Why is everyone backing on the ice?" And the refs are going, "What are you talking about?" He's like, No, they all came backing on the ice." And the ref goes, "All right, hold on." And he goes and talks to our coach and goes, "You know, what's going on here?" He goes, I don't know. I always have at least 6 to 7 alternates sitting in the stands just in case guys get hurt or something like this happens. He goes, well, I got to check it out just to make sure. And he goes, oh, yeah, check it out. So he has us all lined up on the blue line. He's going down one by one. You weren't there. You can play. You weren't there. You can play. He gets to me. There's blood all over my face. He goes, oh, no, no, you were definitely there. I remember you. Everyone gets let back except for me.
Everyone but you.
Everyone but me, and we end up winning the game. So now, after the game, people found out about this in the tournament committee, who's high up in USA Hockey.
Yeah.
They weren't happy with us. They weren't happy with us.
But that's legit, though. Yep. That's legit.
Yeah. No, it was.
That's a story.
I never thought we were going to get away with that.
My goodness. But. Yeah. No, but those hockey fights sometimes look really, really scary.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a lot about hockey. Yeah. So I call it the Everyday Hero Series. And it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm very, very thankful. But I do this to all my guests. Advice. Please give advice to all the young hockey players, those, you know, the 5, 10, 12, 15 high schoolers who are doing all these summer leagues, who are going, waking up super early. What is your advice to them if they plan on, if they want, if they have the goal to play college hockey?
Well, I think there's two, I've always looked at it this way. I think there's two main components of getting to the next level. I think that, like I told you before we started this, it's the cliche of, you know, when you're playing a college sport, it's always the student athlete, and student comes before the athlete.
Exactly.
So I think that my later high school years, I started to realize that, you know, maybe I had a chance to use hockey as a tool to get an education by playing college hockey.
Exactly.
And that's the most important thing, because hockey is going to end one day, just like anything else is going to end one day. But you're always, if you get an education, you're always going to have that.
You're going to have potential to do many more things.
Whatever you want to do. So I think that as much as a bummer as it is, sometimes you kind of got to put your sport aside for a second and focus up on the books and schoolwork and stuff. Because, you know, as good as a hockey player as you can be, if you don't have the grades to get in, you can't get in.
You can't get in.
I think that's number one. And number two is putting in the time and effort to get to the next level and, you know, making sacrifices. I think that, you know, these days there's a million training facilities out there, a million hockey camps and stuff. I think that if you find one that's right for you, and you never want to burn yourself out.
Either. Definitely not.
You never want to, you know, even if you're doing it year round, whether it be couple summer tournaments and playing in the fall and stuff, and then you have your regular season. Always try to take the time to take a couple weeks off here and there.
Yeah,
you know, definitely in the summer, pick up the golf clubs. You know, hit the beach for a little bit. You know, but don't burn yourself out. I think that training this day and age in hockey, especially, and I know football is too. Everyone's so much faster, stronger,
exactly,
smarter.
Yes.
half of, you know, being a elite athlete is eating properly and training properly. So I think that you know, you have to take that just as serious as you would take, you know, in season practice and whatnot. And I think that
you heard it. You said half of it is eating well and training well. It's not just, you know, hitting at the gym, doing squats 1,000 times a day, going a million different games. You train well, you treat your body right, and you make the difference.
And
you make it.
One thing that I heard in the past year that I don't want to call it my motto, but it definitely stuck in my head is I heard Conor McGregor talking about you know, UFC and fighting and stuff, and he was talking about how he doesn't look at UFC as a job. He looks at it as an obsession. And I think that you could take that and use it in any way you want, whether it be, you know, your job, your sport. If you make it an obsession and you want to make the sacrifice and you want to put all your time and effort into it, really, I mean, it's another cliche, but anything's possible.
It sure is.
It really is.
It sure is.
So,
and then lastly, my friend, 5 years from now, when you're graduating Southern Maine and you're getting recruited to the AFL, the NHL, you're going to Canada, you're going to Europe, You're the big guns. Yeah. And Q hits you up and he says, can I get that interview with your new pads and the new logo? Would you do me the honors?
I'd love to.
Wonderful. You guys heard it here. AJ, it was an absolute pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Of course, check it out. I'm going to put any Instagram, Facebook, anything you want people to know, I'll put it in the description below.
I could always use a couple Instagram followers.
You hear that? His Instagram is going to be below. Check him out. It was a pleasure. Deuces.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.